As we begin our third lesson on soul winning, I'd like to have you turn again to Psalm 126, 5 and 6. This is the wonderful recipe for a wonderful work. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I like that word doubtless, don't you? No question about the crop, provided we meet the conditions. Now, yesterday, we were studying that first condition. He that, what? Goeth forth. We have to go before we can sow. We have to get out of ourselves, out of our narrow, petty, selfish plans and thinking. It's a wonderful thing, friends, when we look upon each circumstance, not primarily from the standpoint of how is this going to affect me, but rather from this standpoint. What is there in this circumstance that will give me an opportunity to win a soul? Oh, how different that makes everything in life look. God help us to have that precious experience, and we can have it with Jesus, because he has said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now this morning, I want to study that second expression. He that goeth forth and what? And weepeth. He that goeth forth and weepeth. What does weeping have to do with this work of soul winning? Well, it has a lot to do with it. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, and weepeth. Now, you know right at the outset, there's something a lot of people wouldn't be interested in. They want things that make them laugh, not things that make them weep. They want funny things, not heart-burdening things. Well, soul winning is not funny, my friends. Not at all. Don't misunderstand me. I don't mean by that that there's no pleasure in it. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And the joy is everlasting. We taste of it here from time to time as we enter in with Jesus. And we shall taste it to the full. Eat it and drink it to the full through eternal ages. But before the joy comes the sorrow. Before the pleasure comes the weeping. He that goeth forth and weepeth. Now, the illustration is taken, as you see, from agriculture. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know, we sing that song, Bringing in the Sheaves. Wish we could sing it tomorrow morning. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Come with rejoicing, bringing the sheaves. What are the sheaves? The souls. That's right. Now, why weep? Because in order to prepare the ground for seed, there must be water. There must be moisture. In fact, in most crops, we have to have moisture come to the soil before we sow, and then, after the sowing, there has to be some more moisture. Now, suppose, let's take this illustration in a vivid, literal way. Suppose you were going to have a garden in your backyard, and suppose the only moisture that was available to water that garden, get it ready for the seed sowing, and then take care of it after the seed was sown. Suppose the only moisture available was your tears. How big a crop could you have? Well, some people might not have any. And that's exactly what's happening. So many people have no crop. Why? They don't weep. They don't weep. And you see, this brings us back to what I studied with you in the first lesson. And that is that you cannot think of this soul-winning work in mass. It's not dry land farming, which you can sow hundreds or thousands of acres. No. This is something that calls for moisture to prepare the soil of the heart, and then, after the seed is sown, to continue to water it. Tomorrow morning, the Lord willing, I want to study with you about the seed sowing. But this morning, about the getting ready of the soil of the heart. And how is it done? With tears. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Now, I'd like to have us notice what this water is. Turn to Revelation, the last chapter. The last page of this wonderful book, Revelation, the 22nd chapter, and the first verse. He showed me a pure river of water of what? Life. Now the 17th verse. The last part of that. What does it say? Whosoever will, let him take the what? Water of life freely. Yes, this is the water of life. Now, in 1 John, the 5th chapter, you'll find a wonderful promise of how we can get this life for ourselves and others. 1 John, the 5th chapter, and the 16th verse. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. Now, when he says a sin not unto death, he means any sin except the unpardonable sin. As he says, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. But for every other sin, there is a remedy, my friends. And that remedy is the life of God. And do you know what the life of God is? Well, it's love. 1 John 4:8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is what? Love. And with that, 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and the 14th verse, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we what? Because we love. Life and love, they belong together. Selfishness and death belong together. Now let's put all this together. This river of water of life is the love of God, the life of God. And it is to be communicated to others through us. You are to be a channel. And this is the weeping that the psalmist is talking about. They that sow in tears, the tears of love, the tears of sympathy, the tears of compassion. You see, dear friends, if sin had never entered, there would be no tears. But as soon as sin entered, the tears began to flow. Jesus wept over the rebellion of Satan and those angels who revolted with him. Jesus wept over the fall of Adam and Eve. And as he wept at the tomb of Lazarus in sympathy with human woe, so he's weeping today over the sorrows of a lost world. And if you and I enter into fellowship with him, we too will weep. We too will feel sorry. We too will have our hearts drawn out. And as we open our hearts heavenward, these streams of compassion will flow into us and flow through us and on out to those with whom we come in contact. And without this love, my dear friends, we will never be successful as soul winners. Now, look there at 1 John 5:16 again and tell me, how is a person going to get this life, this love, for others, that will communicate life to them? How is he going to get it? What does it say? He shall ask. He shall ask. Oh, don't lose that key point there. He shall ask, and he, God, shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death. In other words, here poor souls lost in sin, but there's hope for them. Jesus sees that they can be redeemed. How are they going to be redeemed? Oh, somebody who sees them in that lost, sinful condition is going to get down on his knees and cry to God. He's going to say, oh, God, here's Harry. He's lost. But, oh, Lord, give me life for him. Give me love for him. Give me more love than I have. And as we plead, what does this say God will do? Why, he will give us life for them. Yes, he will. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. But now tell me, friends, how much good would it do to go out here and put seed into perfectly dry ground? How much good would it do? Why, it could lie there all season and not do a thing. Am I right? You know it. There must be some moisture in that soil. And the only source of this river of the water of life, where did we read it there in Revelation 22:1? Is the throne of God. This is the river of life and love that flows from the sanctuary. Ezekiel saw it in Ezekiel 47. A mighty river flowing from the sanctuary that brings life to everything it touches. But listen, it must flow through you if you are to be a soul winner. It must reach you and then on through you. That means that there mustn't be a single bit of selfishness that would hold back the blessing for yourself. You must be a channel, not a dead sea that holds everything it gets. You must ask, and Jesus will give you life for others. Now this brings us back to our first morning study. You remember, we studied there that we are to begin to do what? Pray. Pray for what? Pray for souls. Begin to pray for souls. Love isn't just some wonderful feeling. Love isn't just some general wishing that everybody could be saved. Love is pleading with God for Alice. Love is wrestling with God for John or Joe or Harry or George. Love is pleading with God for definite souls and pleading that God will give us love and life for them. You see, if we loved people more, we could meld our way into their hearts more. We've been speaking here of love as water. Now let's think of it for a moment as heat, warm, fervent, burning love. Here's a block of ice. I bring it in contact with warmth. It may be the warmth of the sunlight on a nice day, or it may be the heat from some stove or some radiator that's filled with hot water or steam. Whatever the source of that heat, when I bring it in contact with that block of ice, what begins to happen? That block of ice begins to weep. That block of ice begins to weep. Doesn't it? And pretty soon, friends, if we keep it up, there's no more ice. It's all water. Plants don't grow with water in the form of ice. It has to be melted, right? And so, here it is, in this double lesson. My heart must be melted if I am to be used to help others. Their hearts must become melted if they are to be reached. And what is it that will do it? Love will do it. Love will do it. And so, how can I get love? Ask. Ask. But along with the asking, friends, I must behold. Turn to John, the 12th chapter, and the 32nd verse. John 12, 32. Jesus says, and I, if I be lifted up, will do what? Will draw all men unto me. This, he said, signifying what death he should die. What death did he die? What death did Jesus die? The death of the cross. And so we are to come on our knees to Jesus on the cross. And as we pray, we are to behold him. You remember in our first lesson, I gave you one sentence from Christ's Object Lessons, 196. Would you hand me Object Lessons there? I want to read a little more from this wonderful page. Christ's Object Lessons, 196. Thank you. The value of a soul, who can estimate? Would you know its worth? Go to Gethsemane and there watch with Christ through those hours of anguish when he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Look upon the Savior uplifted on the cross. Look upon the Savior uplifted on the cross. Hear that despairing cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Look upon the wounded head, the pierced side, the marred feet. Remember that Christ risked all. For our redemption, heaven itself was imperiled. At the foot of the cross, remembering that for one sinner Christ would have laid down his life, you may estimate the value of a soul. It's at the foot of the cross that this precious lesson of love is learned. It's at the foot of the cross that we catch the healing streams that flow from that wounded side, that broken heart. Now notice the next sentence over on the next page, 197. If you are in communion with Christ, you will place his estimate upon every human being. You will feel for others the same deep love that Christ has felt for you. Then you will be able to win, not drive, to attract, not repulse, those for whom he died. What's the name of this class? Beginning. What? Soul winning. He that winneth souls is wise. And it is love that wins. Nothing else can. And if you and I lack love, let's ask for it. But let's come where it's given, where it's handed out, where it's bestowed, where it's communicated. Where is it? At the cross. At the cross. And so day by day, morning by morning, we're to come in our minds to Gethsemane and Calvary. And we are to see afresh the revelation of that wonderful love until it melts our hearts and causes our souls to respond in earnest desire that we can love others as Jesus has loved us. Specifically, we're to pray for the souls on our list, the one or two or three, and we are to pray for them there at Calvary until that love melts our hearts. And then, all day long, as we come in contact with those souls, we'll be watching for opportunities to do what? To help them, because love wants to help. To win them, because love longs to win. Now, let's turn, please, to Ministry of Healing. And I want you to see how, as we follow Jesus, he will teach us these precious lessons. Ministry of Healing 143. And before I read this, I'd like to have you turn to Matthew, the 9th chapter, because there's a further point here that we mustn't miss. This is very important. No matter how much blessing we get, alone with God, in prayer, pleading for this law, there's a further blessing that can come only as we do what we studied yesterday. Go out, go forth. And on the other hand, friends, no matter how little we may feel as far as our emotions are concerned, after we have sought the Lord in prayer, we should go out. We should go forth. In faith, believing that He will give us the water as we come where the soil is. That He will give us the love as we come where the people are. Matthew, the 9th chapter, the 36th verse. This is Jesus. 35th verse says He was going about the cities and villages, teaching, preaching, healing. He was a medical evangelist, a medical missionary. That's what He's called you and me to be. All right, now what happened? 36th verse. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them. Oh, the heart of Jesus was moved with compassion as He came in contact with lost souls. Do you see? And so, one of the great reasons that God has called you and me into soul winning, into the field, into doing something for people, is that in the very act of coming in contact with them, our hearts may be moved with compassion as His heart was moved with compassion. Do you see, friends? So while we're to go to God in prayer, as we've studied, we are not necessarily to wait until our souls are flooded with a great yearning love that we just feel in every fiber of our being. Let's pray for enough love to get us going. And then let's go. Let's go. Because as we come in contact with the needs of people, our hearts will be moved with compassion. Did we not read yesterday His invitation? Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. You remember that Peter wanted to stay up there on the mountain in communion with Jesus. You remember that? But Jesus said what? No, we've got to go down to the plain. There's somebody waiting for us down there. Was there? Oh, yes. A poor fellow that needed Jesus, needed healing, needed deliverance, needed help. Jesus' heart was moved with compassion. That longing to help them sent Him to the mountain to get the help. It sent Him down from the mountain, drove Him from the mountain, down where the people were. And so our life is to be lived between the mountain and the multitude, in the secret place of prayer, drawing this love. But remember, some of it will be experienced by us only as we come in contact with the people. When He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. All right, now Ministry of Healing 143. Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed His sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. Then He bade them follow Me. You notice how He prepared the way? He came in contact with the people. He showed His interest in them and what they were doing. When He was with fishermen, He talked about fish. When He was with tax collectors, He talked about money. When He was with shepherds, He talked about hunting a lost sheep. He found the avenue to their hearts. But it wasn't just in talk. He ministered to their needs. He put His hands on the sick people. He fed the hungry. He did something for the tired, the discouraged, the weary, the worn, the sinning. He showed His compassion. Why? He loved them. But that love had to be communicated. There is need of coming close to the people by personal effort. If less time were given to sermonizing and more time were spent in personal ministry, greater results would be seen. Now listen. The poor are to be relieved, the sick cared for, the sorrowing and the bereaved comforted, the ignorant instructed, the inexperienced counseled. We are to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. Here we are at the weeping again. We're to weep not only with Jesus in the secret place of prayer, in burden for lost souls, as we come in contact with the needy, the sick, the sad, the discouraged, the sinning, we are to weep with them. This statement is taken from Romans, the 12th chapter and the 15th verse. You may put that down in your notes. It says, rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. You know there are two kinds of tears, friends. Tears of sorrow and tears of joy. You know that, don't you? Yes. Yes. And so, as we come in contact with souls, we're to enter into their feelings. Weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. Now notice this wonderful promise. Accompanied by the power of persuasion, the power of prayer, the power of the love of God, this work will not, cannot be without fruit. Thank God, pray. Thank God. Let's sing it again this morning as we did yesterday. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I humbly do my part to win that soul for thee. To win that soul for thee. To win that soul for thee. And may I humbly do my part to win that soul for thee.